Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're betting the NFL playoffs, you need to be listening to Cash the Ticket. We're breaking down every single game, totals and sides, all the way to the big game. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Second Guest Show. Mike DeTellier, along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, live at the Silver Slipper Casino Beachside right here in Hancock County, Mississippi. Put a coat on. It's sort of cold outside, so if you come visit us, and but it's warm here at the Slipper, so you can take the coat off once you get here. Bobby and I will be on until 6:30 tonight, and we throw it to the Saints Radio Network. It'll be the Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show. Mike Haas will be the host, and he'll have on with him Saints head coach Darren Rizzi. His guest tonight will be senior defensive assistant Peter Guenta. And then at 7:30, Bobby and I return for half an hour more of Second Guess, and we'll take this until 8 o'clock tonight. Bob, 27-19 defeat to finish the season with Tampa Bay Bucks. But the news today certainly is everybody kind of lining up or requesting for interviews, and already we've heard from a lot of different sources. Aaron Glenn will be one of the guys interviewed. Joe Brady, who had a short stint here with the Saints before he went to LSU.
He was like a GA here with the Saints.
And then he goes to LSU, and he's the passing game coordinator. He worked with Steve Ensminger, and they did a great job. 2019 National Championship team, which may go down as one of the greatest teams ever. And then, you know, he sort of has bounced around the NFL. He was with Carolina, didn't work out there. Now he's with the Buffalo Bills, and everything sort of works when you got Josh Allen.
Yeah, without a doubt. It didn't work out in Carolina, but yeah, the right place, right time does make a difference.
And also Kellen Moore, former Boise State quarterback, and man, he put up some numbers there. Undrafted guy, comes into the league, starts with Detroit, actually was the backup. Dan Orlovsky, who you see on ESPN, yep. He was the backup.
From UConn?
To Orlovsky. And then he goes to the Cowboys, played 6 years in the National Football League, and has coached with the Cowboys. Last year with the Chargers, and then this year he became the offensive coordinator with the Philadelphia Eagles. The Saints have also requested an interview with Miami Dolphins defensive coordinator Anthony Weaver. Anthony was an assistant head coach and defensive line coach for the Baltimore Ravens in 2022-2023. And then he became the defensive coordinator with the Dolphins in 2024.
Well, the fans will be excited about that if they'd hire him. I think they want more in this day and age an offensive mind. I think what have you done for him lately? Look at Aaron Glenn with the defense, what he did against the Vikings.
Man.
Especially in those goal-to-goal situations. You know, fourth down, you got to give Aaron Glenn a lot of credit.
And playing...
But all the injuries they've had on defense and Holly's piecemeal and a game plan.
It ain't 52 cards he was playing with. Man, he had a lot of guys missing, 17 guys on injured reserve, 6 starters removed from the lineup. You saw Anzalone come back. It was his first game. But you know what made me feel great? Amik Robertson. Playing cornerback. When they signed Amik, Amik was brought in as the nickel corner. I watched Amik at Thibodaux High School. Man, he's one of the best high school football players I've ever seen on the Bayou. Goes to Louisiana Tech. He was an All-American there. Now, I'm taller than Amik. Okay, so Amik is 5'8" and an eighth, in that sort of range. But man, you talk about grit and heart and tough. And he's talented, and he went up against a guy that he has worked with in practice sessions and with Justin Jefferson. The first time I saw Amik, he's working out at Camp Moolah. We'll have Ernest Harvey on with us tomorrow. They were working out against one another in Houma. And last night you got to see it. He held Jefferson to 3 catches.
No, and Sam Darnold was off definitely on 2 or 3 throws. And, you know, and he's been hot. He's been hot the whole season. But it's not like those Vikings receivers were getting a lot of separation the majority of the time. So, again, you got to give the Lions a lot of credit. Now, again, with the Saints, it's been a tale of two halves. Boy, Spencer Rattler at times doesn't even look like the same guy in the first half. He's unbelievable.
He really played well in the first half.
And then it's not even the same guy maybe in the second half. But you look at the Saints, obviously where they're at, finishing with a disappointing 5-12 record. It's the team's worst finish since 2005 when they went 3-13. Now, the Saints missed the playoffs for the fourth straight season. Obviously, that's why you see changes have to be made. That's the team's longest drought since missing the postseason five straight years. Remember, from 2001 to 2005, you know, Hassler's last year with Katrina. But you look at it also ensured the Saints a fourth place finish in the NFC South. Their worst showing in division standing since 2018, a Sean Payton team that went 8-8. So you could just see that changes had to come about. And, you know, you look at Spencer Rattler. He made a sixth start. I didn't realize this, but that was the most starts by a rookie, a Saints rookie quarterback, since Archie Manning, 10 starts in 1971. Now, Archie was able to go 3-5 and 2 that year, but Rattler went 0-6. So, no, the first half, he's unbelievable. He completed 21 of 28 passes, 181 yards, and a touchdown. Helped the Saints build a double-digit lead. They're up 16-6. He completed passes to 10 different players in the first half, and then not so much the second half. It wasn't as kind, to say the least. He completed just 5 of 14 passes for 59 yards. So, no, it's kind of been Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde with Spencer Rattler. And I don't look at Juwan Johnson. Boy, he was unbelievable in that first half. Looking, and that's who Spencer Rattler was targeting, the tight end. He caught each of his five targets in that first half for 69 yards. But it wasn't so much the second half. We still can't contain a running quarterback.
Bob, of all things, Baker Mayfield yesterday reminded me of the Baker Mayfield at Oklahoma. Man, if the receiver's not open, man, I'm taking off with it.
Well, he did the second half.
Almost 70 yards rushing for Baker Mayfield.
Yes, and especially on third down, and we still can't stop the run. So that's one thing. You know, we're giving up 5 yards a run on the season, basically 4.9. That's 5 yards. But in the game, we end up giving 5.8 yards a carry. And quarterback runs do count, you know, when you're trying to end up stopping the run. But Tampa Bay, you know, that's kind of the poster child, how you got to do things and turn things around. Considering what they've done, you got to look at from top to bottom, the general manager and everything, when post Tom Brady.
They were in pre-Tom Brady cap post. Hell. Just not in the same realm.
But look how quickly they turned around.
But, Bob, in 2 years, in a quick turnaround, they're the NFC South champs both years. You might say, oh, it's a lousy division. It don't matter.
Well, they won the NFC South now four straight seasons.
Four straight years.
Yeah, now, look, in the two games we played Tampa Bay this year, we gave up 890 yards. So, basically, we were giving up 900 yards versus our defense. But the one thing... What was disappointed also, and that was the case yesterday, we cannot convert on third down. Our third down offense, if you look at it, we're only like 36% of the season. You know, that needs to be like add a four. I mean, or add, should put a four instead of that three, at least 46%. Then you're really clicking. But we only were 3 of 13, 23%. Then you look at last week versus the Raiders. At one time, we were 0 for 9, and then a 1 of 10 on third down. So how are you going to set the tone of the game when time of possession? So that's basically where we're at. You're looking at Coach Rizzi. We ended up being 3-5 under him and 1-2 on the road. Who knows? The new head coach we get, I don't know if he'd be intimidated by Coach Rizzi because he's an interim head coach. But Coach Rizzi could coach special teams 20, 30 years in the league. He's amongst the best, and he can have a great job. And he might have to move, you know, if the new head coach doesn't want to keep him. And he'll be part of the interview process as far as keeping Coach Rizzi. But I think realistically, he'd have had to go like 7-1 instead of 3-5 as far as to really be in the hunt. But the players did play hard for him. And the one thing that's a major disappointment this year and how we were opportunistic at the beginning of the season, well, on the back end, no, we were going in the wrong direction. Now, we did end up +1 in that turnover margin for the game, but we -2 for the season. And last year, I don't know how we did not win 10 games. We were +11 Plus 11, that's a winning formula right there. And, you know, always say this, it's a measuring stick even next year. It's not guaranteed, but I like the percentages. Do you know all the playoff teams got to double-digit wins? All of them. Now, you know it's a shame? And if you'd have told me this, let's say in the summer, I don't know if you're a Seahawks fan, are you looking at teams around the league? The Seahawks finished 10-7 and they didn't make the playoffs. And the Rams are 10-7, but the Rams got the tiebreaker.
Yep.
So, but if you could tell me right now, that'd be doubling the win total. If next year the Saints can get to 10 wins, we might have a damn parade. We go from 5 wins to 10 parade. We say, whoa, I think we're definitely trending in the right direction. We're going to celebrate this. So it just goes to how hard it is. And you might say, well, that's not really a special season, but it is. The NFL is tough. 10-7 is you very successful. And that's why the Seahawks, they were 10-7, not quite there. But just look at everyone. Every playoff team had double-digit wins. So that's where you got to be. You got to be in that number, not hovering around 500, not 8-9, 9-8. Now, 9-8 might work now and then. And then if your division really sucks, 8-9 might work. But you want to get to double-digit wins, then I don't think the Who Dat Nation or any fan base should ever bitch. The Seahawks fan base should not bitch that they're not in the postseason and they went 10-7.
And they also had a first-year head coach.
Right.
Think of that. Mike McDaniel comes in, Mark McDaniel, excuse me, on that. But
then they fired one of their coordinators.
Man,
but
somebody got to take it.
Yeah.
Somebody got to take the blade.
We're not in the playoffs, even though we won 10
games. Somebody
got
to take the blade on it. But, man, with this weekend, we're going to go to break. But this weekend, Washington versus Tampa.
Oh,
Tampa didn't put a big pass rush on Spencer Rattler. They really didn't. Man, if you don't do a better job against Jaden Daniels, you're going to be in trouble.
No, it's going to be on Sunday Night Football next Sunday. That's an intriguing game. And I'm telling you right now, this is my dark horse in the summer in training camp, late July, early August. Watch out for Harbaugh and the Chargers. I think they could beat Houston Texans in Houston.
The way Houston's playing.
C.J. Stroud, yes.
If you had to ask me today, I'd pick them.
Right.
I'd pick them to beat Houston.
You know,
Houston.
Who you play, when you play them and all that. Now, my Super Bowl pick was, because you got to go. I don't want to go with the favorites. I said, watch out for the Chargers and the 49ers, because they once played the 49ers. Somebody fell off the face of the earth.
I'm hanging on the cliff with the Packers.
But the one thing,
I think that might get me there.
But the one thing with Shanahan, okay, look, what would they win? Mike, 6 games?
Yeah.
Shanahan still thought so highly thought of that the 6 games about the 49ers. Oh, we got to make a change. No, they might trade him to another team, but they wouldn't just out and out fire him.
I doubt seriously they're going to trade him. Interesting little thing that the Bears have reached out and requested to talk to Dallas Cowboys head coach Mike McCarthy. Mike does not have a contract after Wednesday. Does not. So he becomes a free agent, so to speak. And maybe this is in the back of Jerry's mind. Well, man, if you take that job in Chicago, I don't have to get rid of you.
Well, all I know is I tell you this right now. You might think this is crazy. I don't want Mike McCarthy. But if you could tell me right now that he'd come to the Saints in 3 straight years, he would win 12 games a year, I would take that in a heartbeat. All the owners would, because that means your team is relevant. Now, that doesn't mean you're winning a championship. But the Cowgirls, they won 12 games, 3 straight seasons with Coach McCarthy. That's why he still knows what he's doing. Now, Saints fans said, well, he was already with the Saints. But we don't want to bring him back. But I'm telling you, Jerry Jones knows that. And that could come back to maybe burn him.
We'll be back with more Second Guess right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Back here on the Second Guess Show, Mike DeTelli along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, at the Silver Slipper Casino Beachside in Hancock County, Mississippi. Let's go to our Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text line. Let's go to Hollywood and Thibodeau. Hollywood, you in the huddle with Bobby and Mike. I hope you're feeling okay, because word is, man, you're sort of sick.
Yeah, you're under the weather. What's up,
What's
Hollywood?
Up? Hey, Bobby. Hey, Mike. How y'all doing? I got some bronchitis and some pneumonia.
What?
Well, you got walking pneumonia. You got walking pneumonia.
You got laying down pneumonia.
Okay, you know what I never. What was the difference, right? I'm just, what is like walking pneumonia and regular pneumonia? Walking pneumonia is you got pneumonia and you just keep going about your business? I don't know. Someone explain that to me. Oh, I got walking pneumonia. Or do you have pneumonia? Yes, I have pneumonia, but it's walking pneumonia. I guess you have pneumonia. Well, you're not staying in bed. I don't know.
No, I got laying down in the morning. I've been in bed all day, Bobby.
Oh, you're calling in. You're faithful. In Hollywood, you're faithful. I like that.
You don't think I'm going to let y'all get away with not let y'all hear my voice on the last day of the season? Come on, man.
Huh? Yeah, no, Hollywood, you're showing up. You're playing hurt. I like it. You're playing hurt. I like that. So what do you think? What are we going to do going forward?
Well, Bobby, first of all, we got to get players. We got a lot of positions to fill with old people. Then we got to change the way we train in the offseason. I know when you play football, you were in Thibodeau, you were in Millsap, y'all were hitting. Not like flag football today, and they're still getting hurt. We got to change that theory. Then we got to get players that don't want to quit. They got to play from the opening tip ball to the end of the game. And until they can't get them things, then we got to change the way we play at home because we garbage at home. We can't win at home for no reason.
You don't feel advantage. Yeah. You don't have a don't feel right. advantage. The only thing about practicing harder this day and age is to have a collective bargaining agreement. And the coach might want to be old school and practice them harder, but you can't do it. No one even does 2-a-days no more. You're not high school, college, pros. You can't do it. So you got to be able to adjust like Dan Campbell has with the Lions. That's kind of an old school team that has adjusted to the new rules, and look where they're at, number one seed with a bye.
I remember, you know, Rich told us the story that when Hank Stram took over, they were doing 3-a-days.
Yeah.
3-a-days.
You know, I think...
Talking about wear down a team quick. Do 3-a-days that
I think
long.
Oh, Alabama guy Ray Perkins did that.
Ray did it also with the Buccaneers. Bucks.
Yeah.
Ray did it exactly that way with the Bucks. And his teams weren't very good.
Yeah, so I guess that didn't work. You got to win. The bottom line is you got to win. I don't care.
You got to have players.
I don't care if you give a player off every other day. And if you win, that's a winning formula. You got to win. If you don't win, we're not doing it right. And right now, when the Saints with 5 wins, obviously they're not doing it right. So changes have to be made. Now, Hollywood, what do you think about, like, Mickey Loomis is in charge and about, him wanting to maybe hire someone that he's familiar with or comfortable with versus someone that has skins on the wall, but he doesn't really know him? Don't you think everybody got to be a little uncomfortable, maybe? And because the bottom line is winning. I mean, did Sean Payton really have a pass? I mean, did Mickey Loomis really have a pass with Sean Payton and when he hired him? And look how that turned out. I mean, that's why.
They used to do interviews and put it on a little disc and send it out. Mickey can talk to you about that. And that's how he first started to find out about Sean. And that's how they did it back then. They put it on a little disc and you watched it, and then you bring him in.
Well, the thing is, obviously, look at Aaron Glenn. He's a hot commodity defensive coordinator with the Lions. Mickey is very familiar with him. And Aaron Glenn's a winner. He was a winner as a player. He's a winner as a coach. But
he's demanding because he was a player.
Yeah, and it's never a black-white thing because he can get on the brothers and say, man, what are you talking about? I've been there, I've done that, and they respect him. You wouldn't believe the players that Aaron Glenn chews some ass out. He ain't just one of like, okay, this is what we're doing and all that. He gets on them and gives them the business, and they respond to him. You know why? Because he played like 14 years in the NFL. He goes, man, I'm not telling you to do something that I didn't do.
Dan Campbell.
Yeah, Dan Campbell.
Look how long Dan played
this
league.
It's the same thing. So I think that goes a long way. Not necessarily you have to be an ex-player to be a top coach, but the players have to respond to you. The players respond to Coach Rizzi. You think Coach Rizzi ever played in the NFL? Look at him. You know he never played in no damn NFL, but he knows what he's doing. He knows what he's doing, especially. So, no, you can have it both ways. You can have an ex-player who's an excellent coach. You can have an ex-player who's a terrible coach. Or you can have a coach that never played. Vic Fangio, who coached the Dawn Patrol.
Yeah.
Vic Fangio, who was coaching the outside linebackers, Ricky Jackson, Pat Swilling, and the Dawn Patrol. He's running the Philadelphia Eagles defense right now.
How big is Vic?
You ever seen Vic Fangio? If he's soaking wet, he looks like a wet rat. He's about 160 pounds. Now, he's got older. He gained a little bit of weight, but he never played no ball. But he knows football. It's how the players respond. You got to know when you're in that meeting room that the players look at you, you know what the hell you're talking about. You can't fake the funk. You cannot fake the funk. You cannot BS. You have to know what you're talking about. And that's the ones that are successful, whether you played or you didn't play.
You know, you look at what Dan Campbell did in Detroit. A lot of his assistant coaches were former NFL players. And he felt as though
they can relate.
He had to relate right. to those
without
guys.
Without a doubt.
And so it worked for him. It worked for him in that spot.
Yeah, but without a doubt. So Hollywood, the bottom line is we didn't make the playoffs four straight seasons. I don't know what's going to happen next year. But you have to give the fans hope, the Houdat Nation hope, that we're trending in the right direction. That we're trending. Not same song and dance. Because this day and age, after 1 year, you get fired. You might think like, oh, I'm building my program. Look at Gerard Mayo. Robert Kraft said, no, all of a sudden, I've been grooming him for 5 years. Gerard Mayo is going to be the Patriot. He's going to take over for Belichick. What happened to him? They fired his ass after 1 year.
And they're going to bring in another former coach who played for the Patriots. And Mike Vrabel's going to get that job.
To me, Vrabel was an outstanding three-time winning Super Bowl champ as a player. And what he did with the Tennessee Titans. Look how sorry the Tennessee Titans are right now. Miss Amy.
Miss Amy's not happy, I can tell you
who
that.
Owns the Titans, she has to think, like, man, I should have kept Vrabel or something. Because all I know is that they went to New England and beat Tom Brady in the playoffs. They were the number one seed.
And lost to Joe Burrow in a crazy game.
Right.
Cincinnati.
So he's in a driver's seat. Now, that's who I want with the Saints. But he'll have a bunch of choices. He ain't choosing the Saints. I'm telling you right now. I wish he would, but he's not going to choose them.
Just like Ben Johnson with the Lions. He's not coming here either.
Well, you know why? With Vrabel's going to have options too. And why do I think the Patriots are more attractive than the Saints right now? You know why?
Young quarterback.
They're young stud quarterback. Look at me. Their young stud quarterback right now with New England, he's a better option than Jacksonville and Trevor Lawrence. Trevor Lawrence is getting paid $55 million. What the hell Trevor Lawrence has done? He ain't done nothing with the Jaguars. Think about that.
And Doug Peterson got fired.
He looks like the Prince. He got that long hair. I don't know. He looks like the quarterback version of Alex Anzalone.
But think about that Jacksonville job. They got players on that Jacksonville team. Yeah. I think the problem, a lot of that, is Trent Baalke. He was the guy who ran Jim Harbaugh off.
Mr. Khan's keeping him.
He's keeping him.
He's keeping him.
Man, I don't know what he does to keep jobs. But he got Jim Harbaugh basically to take off from San Francisco. Think of that. They basically said, we're going to keep Baalke instead of Jim Harbaugh.
Well, I think I would trust Jim Harbaugh over that cat. All I know is Jim Harbaugh, wherever he's been, look what he's done with the Chargers. You don't think he's made a difference? He won a national championship in Michigan. Come on, the 3 yards and a cloud of dust.
But it worked.
Michigan. Yeah, yeah.
But it worked.
All I know is watch out for the Chargers, I'm telling you. But look at the money line. That might be good value. You know, you want to shock the world. Don't always go with the favorite. Watch out for the Chargers. Then watch them lose to the Texans.
Hey, Bear,
you made me lose all my money.
Thank you, Hollywood. We appreciate the call. We'll be back with more Second Guess right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Back here on the Second Guess Show, Mike DeTillo along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. We're at the Silver Slipper Casino Beachside right here in Hancock County, Mississippi. Come on by and visit us. We'll be here until 6:30 tonight. Then we'll throw it to the Saints Radio Network. It'll be the Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show with Mike Haas, Darren Rizzi, Peter Ginta, Saints Senior Defensive Assistant, will be his guest tonight. Then Bob and I rejoin Second Guest at 7:30. Let's go back to our Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text line. Let's go to Carlos in Madisonville. Carlos, you're in the huddle with Bobby and Mike.
I just want to know from y'all's perspective, you know, given everybody y'all know in the organization, is and I think the audience wants to know, yes or no, is Mickey Loomis untouchable? I mean, the fact is we've been on a strategy of bringing in older, higher paid free agents because we've been living in a world of a high performing quarterback. Well, we don't have that anymore. That strategy is not working. It's clearly not working, especially the last 3 years.
So, you know, it was like 7-11. We hit the lottery when you got Sean Payton, the combination of Sean Payton and Drew Brees. And Mickey Loomis, you got to give him credit. He brought in Sean Payton.
No doubt.
And they convinced, you know, Drew Brees to come here. But let me tell you, I think Mickey Loomis, where he's at right now, you know where this goes back, and the power and the stroke that he has, it goes back to Mr. Benson. When you look at the trust factor, who do you trust? And Ms. Gayle's going to honor what her husband, Tom Benson, wanted to do. Like as far as dealing with the money, Dennis Lauscher. As far as Mickey Loomis. As far as even like public relations and all what he's dealt with.
Greg Bensel.
Yeah. I'm telling you, they're about as close to untouchable as in the NFL as there is. Bobby, you're out of line saying that. Well, I mean, I don't know what's wrong with that. I wish I was one of those people. that you hit the lottery in life. I mean, so Ms. Gayle.
That's not working, Bobby. That's not working.
Well, it's not working, but that, now the one thing who has.
So you got to change it.
Well, the one thing.
Mickey's got to change it.
Okay, the one who has power over Mickey Loomis would be Ms. Gayle Benson and Dennis Lauscher. But I think Dennis Lauscher doesn't think he knows enough about football to do a power move over Mickey Loomis. Now, he knows the money and all that, and he wants the fannies in the seat and to fill up the dome and all that.
He's an accountant.
Yeah,
that was his job.
And all of a sudden, Mr. Benson loved what he'd done financially and the trust factor. And they were loyal.
But the accounting is off. The accounting is off. The books are terrible.
How do you know the books are terrible? How do you know that?
He's talking about salary cap.
The salary cap.
Financial books.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, the same.
No, the profitability is great, but the salary cap's a mess.
I agree with you.
Without a doubt, we were always pushing it down the road. Then one day you got to pay the piper.
You got to pay the credit card way.
You push it. I don't know. The United States, look how much debt we ain't. We always pushing it down the road.
That's a bad deal, too.
No, that's not good for our country, even that.
No.
But nobody wants to give up what they're used to getting. When I look at Mickey Loomis right now with the salary cap and all that, that's another area. You know why the Patriots are so much attractive than the Saints? Look where they're at in the salary cap. You could be a head coach there. You can bring in a lot of free agents, and you have a quarterback of the future. No, they in an unbelievable position, a favorable position. Well, the Saints, not so much. Now, the older players, they love it. Remember I always tell you that it's better to let go of a player a year too early than a year too late, and then you're still paying them, and they're not even on the damn team. But you're compensating them, and then that's one thing about Mickey. He's not cheap. He's been loyal to the older players that have actually accomplished something. But you know what? You can't pay a player for what they already achieved. You got to pay them what they're going to do in the future. And right now, we're in a rock between a rock and a hard place. That's why you almost have to blow it up. And I'm telling you, we might have to suffer. Listen, if you could tell the Houdat Nation that we would suffer, you might say, nobody has patience. That's why the drive-thru got invented. I want it now. I ain't waiting on nothing.
That is true.
But I'm telling you, if you would tell the Saints fans, we might have to weather the storm in 25 and 26, but we're going to kick ass in 27. They might be able to take that because it might have to be something like that. Well, you know what? The Saints are at the bottom of the barrel the next couple of seasons.
Here's my deal. You know, drew the blueprint up on it. Look at what the Bucks have done. They were way over the salary cap because of Brady, Gronkowski, Ndamukong Suh. They brought in Leonard Fournette. They had Antonio Brown. They kicked it down the road and say, wait a minute, we got to pull back. And look how they have done their salary cap, and now they got a team full of young players.
Young players. That's the thing. You got to hit on the damn young players. Now, do you trust Mickey Loomis and the organization that we draft in the right people, not Peyton Turner, Marcus Davenport, and all that? You just look at this. Okay, who's leading the NFL in sacks right now? Trey Hendrickson with the Bengals. And the Bengals defense sucked, but Trey Hendrickson didn't suck. He had 17 and a half sacks. Oh, we're going to keep now it's all hindsight. You might say, Bobby, come on. We're going to keep Davenport because we had invested in that, and we're going to let Trey Hendrickson go. Then the Bengals, the Bengals didn't want to pay him, but they had to pay Trey Hendrickson. So I'm just saying that's what we got to hit on. Like 2017, that's a long time ago.
That's ancient history in the NFL.
That's why Jeff Ireland might be the fall guy. I mean, and Jeff, he knows talent players. When you're rolling the dice, are you picking the right players? That's why whoever we pick at number nine, that son of a gun needs to play now. Not like, oh, he's going to help us in 2 or 3 years. How about he's a starter for us now, and he's on the cusp as a rookie, being in the Pro Bowl or like an all-pro type player?
He better play like Fuaga plays.
Well,
right off the bat, instant starter.
Not like we developing him, instant starter, contributing right away. Not like we're hoping they work out like Trevor Penning. We hope Payne Turner. We hope Davenport. You got to hit on those guys. And then when you look at, you know how you want to get better and you get a little too cute? Because you can't pay everybody. You got to pay the right people. Have we gotten better against the run? We used to be damn good. We were top three against the run for 2 or 3 seasons when Dennis Allen first got here. We got Colin Sanders, Nathan Shepard. They like rotational guys that D-tackle. We get they're going downhill, they get 5 yards a run. I mean, now we were getting better when David Onyemata and Sheldon Rankins and all, since they all left. We ain't gotten better since we got rid of them. So right now, I don't know, number nine, Mike, do they have a D-tackle? I don't know, he could be a fat son of a gun, just some big space eater, you know, to just occupy like two blockers, and the linebackers can flow. They don't knock him off the ball, because Brian Brzee,
He's
an outstanding pass rusher, but he gets knocked off the ball on the run. We cannot stop the run. So what did the Raiders do? The Raiders were dead last against the run. What did the Raiders do?
They ran the ball.
They ran the ball like 40 times almost. And then they were averaging 77 yards a game. They had 88 the first half. They ran all over us. Every team right now, until proven differently, it's a copycat.
They're going to run the ball against them.
The very first game next year, whoever's playing us, they're going to run right at us to see if we can stop the run because we soft in the middle. We soft in the middle of those D tackles.
Carlos, thanks for the call. We appreciate it. We'll be back to finish up our number one of Second Guest right after this break. Finishing up here in our number one of the Second Guest show, Mike Dettelia along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. In the 5 o'clock hour, we'll have on Mr. Dave Hilbert at 5:10 from the Silver Slipper. And at 5:40, Joe Curry will be on with us to break down the salary cap implications on moves, if it's Derek Carr, if it's Cam Jordan, Tyrann Mathieu, you name it. Man, Joe, he is on the spot and keeps up with all this, does a fantastic job. We'll be back with more Second Guess right after this news break here on the Big 870 WWL.